Welcome to our podcast, Raising the Aviation Bar. A Eurocontrol podcast that explores the stories of the people who are transforming European aviation.
Flight level 310, 2000.
From the ground to the sky.
Hello, my name is Anita Zech, and in today's episode, I'll be speaking to Marilyn Bastin, Eurocontrol's Head of Aviation Sustainability. Eurocontrol's Director General, Raul Medina, has called aviation sustainability the greatest challenge facing our industry, making the Flying Green Roadmap one of our top priorities in our Eurocontrol 2030 Raising the Bar program. Marilyn and her team are in the front lines of these efforts. They're supporting European aviation with data-driven models on aviation's environmental impact. They're helping member states, EU institutions, and the industry to report on emissions. The team also produces vital research and inputs for decision makers using our unique aviation sustainability data. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, Marilyn.
Hello, Anita. A pleasure being here today with you.
Marilyn, before we focus on sustainability, I'd really first like to talk about you. Did you always know you wanted to work in aviation and on sustainability?
It's an interesting question, Anita. To be honest, I always knew since I was a child that I wanted to be an engineer, but not in the aviation sector, but in the space domain. I wanted to be an astronaut. And then I realized that I was claustrophobic, worried to even take a lift. Therefore, I decided to become an electronical engineer, and then, you know, I believe in fate, because when I started my career as a young engineer, I've been proposed a position in the aviation sector for the Belgium Air Navigation Service provider, Belgo Control or Skies, and I've been working there for almost 20 years, as software engineer first, then as project leader for both technical and operational projects. And then 10 years ago, I switched to the environment domain. I became head of environment and flight procedure design. I did an executive degree in environmental management at Liège University to get a better understanding of the complexity of climate change and all other environmental challenges such as noise, waste management, air quality, and so forth.
Okay, so you like grew into the sustainability area while already working in aviation. And how did you join Eurocontrol?
Another very interesting question. When I was working for Skies, you know, I never thought that I could actually work for Eurocontrol. For me, it was just inaccessible and not for me. Only the best experts are working there, and I was not confident enough that I could make it. And then 3 years ago, the position of Head of Aviation Sustainability has been posted. And I didn't think at all about applying. But my former colleagues pushed me, you know, to apply. And I applied because of them, because they were believing in me more than I was believing in myself. And to my big surprise, I have been selected. And this is really a dream job for me.
Okay, this is so interesting, because I think I've seen you on so many panels at conferences, and like you know your stuff inside out, and you know, I would just assume that people who are such experts in their area that they are confident and they're just like, oh, I can take this for granted, I can get this job. But it's really interesting to hear that that even you had to be, you know, convinced that you can do it. And of course, like now, it's, you know, it's going really well, and your team has incredible responsibility on many of the products that we do. But okay, let's move on. Let's dive a little bit into the subject. And one of my first questions, I think, really goes to the challenge that we're looking at in aviation. Eurocontrol's 7-year air traffic forecast predicts almost 12 million flights, 11.9 million flights to be precise, for the base scenario by 2029. Now, looking at these numbers, do you believe it is possible for the aviation sector to meet its emission reduction goals?
Yes. So let's be clear. Yes, I believe it can be done. It can be achieved. And actually, we have published a report last June called Objective Sky Green, which described three different ways, decarbonization pathway to achieve the minus 55% CO2 emission reduction by 2030. But of course, we will need a lot of market-based measures. So let's be clear. But it's not only about market-based measures. There are also three different other pillars that are very important to decarbonize the aviation sector. We will need more disruptive technology like electric and hydrogen aircraft. But let's be clear, by 2030, it will be quite limited. And then, of course, we have the use of sustainable aviation fuel. And the Refuel EU Aviation Initiative has been adopted. And we will have 6% by 2030. So it will still be limited. And of course, ATM has a role to play. We also published different reports showing that the ATM contribution could be between 8 and 12% because there is a pool of fuel inefficiency in the whole European network. So there is a huge potential from ATM. And I believe that we can do ATM reduction also by 2030. And we have also the fleet renewal, more efficient aircraft that will play a role. Now, by 2050, it will be the same solution that will be applied. It's just the proportion that will be different. So we will have more electric hydrogen hybrid aircraft. We will have more sustainable aviation fuel, both biofuel and synthetic fuel. We will have also this ATM potential of 8 to 10% by 2050. And of course, we will need less market-based measure. So this is clear. Mm-hmm. But we can make it, but it's not an easy journey. For sure.
You mentioned as one of the solutions for decarbonizing aviation, sustainable aviation fuels, one of the most promising solutions when it comes to reducing aviation's environmental impact. But what's Eurocontrol's take on SAF?
Yeah, I think it's maybe important to clarify why Eurocontrol is working on sustainable aviation fuel. As you have mentioned it, sustainable aviation fuel is really a main enabler to decarbonize the aviation sector. Why? Because it can be used with the current fleet. We don't need disruptive technology. So if we would have enough SAF, we could decarbonize a lot the aviation sector by tomorrow already. So it's really important to promote the use of sustainable aviation fuel and to support the uptake and the upscale of SAF production. So as Eurocontrol, we contribute with two different projects. The first one, it's the European SAF map, the European Sustainable Aviation Fuel map that we have developed with the ECAC member state. And really the idea is to show where SAF is already available. And also it's about communicating about what are the ambition of the member state regarding SAF development. So it's really an important communication tool and it really shows the willingness of the sector to accelerate the SAF production. The other dimension of our work on sustainable aviation fuel is the energy angle. Because if we want to have enough sustainable aviation fuel by 2050, we will need a huge amount of energy. And if we want those sustainable aviation fuel to be really sustainable, we need this energy to be green or renewable. And I really believe that having access to enough renewable energy at an affordable price will be the real challenge of the aviation decarbonization. But this challenge is not only for the aviation sector. Actually, this is a shared challenge by all transportation sector.
Okay, this is really straightforward and very clear. To the access to clean energy is the key to decarbonizing transport in general. Now, Marilyn, besides your work as head of aviation sustainability at Eurocontrol, you have also been appointed as a member of the Council of Engineers for the Energy Transition. It's a UN body. Can you tell us more about that?
The mission of the seat, it's an easier name for the Council of Engineers for the Energy Transition, is to provide impartial technical advice and an analysis for the UN Secretary General on sustainable engineering pathway to achieving universal energy access, the Paris Agreement goals and net zero emission by mid-century. So in short, the role of the seat is to support the energy transition. There are different working groups. Some of them are focusing on energy access solution, on energy intensive industry like cement industry. And we have one working group dedicated to transportation sector. I'm co-leading this group with China. Concretely, we are working on aviation, train, road, and shipping, and we are drafting a document, a catalogue, in which we list all the solutions to decarbonize the transportation sector and the associated energy needs. Let's be clear, all transportation sector will need a lot of renewable energy. Most of the transportation sector will require green electricity, green hydrogen, or bio or synthetic fuel. So from a global point of view, there is an urgent need to scale up the production of all those energies. Accessibility and affordability are key issues. And again, this is a shared challenge for all human activities that require energy.
Now, zero emission aircraft, such as electric or hydrogen powered aircraft, are also a very big topic in aviation. And you mentioned it before in your reply to the question on the solutions. But what's your view on these new types of aircraft technologies?
Yeah, so for me, zero emission aircraft are really important. We can expect electric aircraft to enter into service before 2030. And like electric cars or train, they will not produce any CO2 emission if the electricity is not produced by fossil fuel. So there is a huge potential, especially in the places where train infrastructure are not available or when the train offer is not big enough. So I believe electric and later hybrid or hydrogen aircraft will play an important role for the decarbonization of the sector. But of course, increasing electric aircraft flying distance is a challenge. And there are a lot of startups out there doing a great job to overcome the current constraint. And I would also like to mention the work of ASEA, the Alliance for Zero Emission Aviation, that Eurocontrol fully supports. Again, we are co-leading one of the working group with DLR, and we have an active role in each working group. This alliance is very important as infrastructure, incentivization, ATM integration, certification are discussed with many partners from the industry. And the goal is to support a smooth rollout of this new entrance in the European network.
You are just back from a conference, I believe, in Greece, where you moderated a discussion on decarbonization with aircraft manufacturers Embraer and Heart Aerospace. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience there?
Yeah, it was a very nice conference in a very sunny environment, by the way. And this conference was also really interesting. There was clearly a call from small players like Heart Aerospace for getting attention. There is a lot of discussion around sustainable aviation fuel for getting more incentives. But it's not the case yet for incentivizing the use of electric or hybrid aircraft. Clearly, there is a lot of work to do here. Buying an electric aircraft or hydrogen aircraft is clearly a risk for an airline, and the infrastructure needs to be developed at many airports to develop a good business model. And we are not there yet. So we need to help the pioneers willing to invest in disruptive technology. Another example is the way we currently compute route charges. The MTOW, or the maximum takeoff weight, is one of the criteria. And those new aircraft will be heavy, and the number of passengers will be quite limited. So per passenger, the cost will be high. And as Eurocontrol, we agree that it's a relevant question that needs to be addressed at ICAO or with the Commission and our member state. But clearly, we support the fact that it should be discussed.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of your recent work. You, Eurocontrol and EASA have recently released two reports on measuring the environmental impact of ANSPs and some guidance on reducing their carbon footprint. Can you tell us a little bit more about this project?
Yeah, it was very important for us because it's 2 years of work with more than 15 ANSP working all together to be able to publish those two reports. So the first one provides guidelines, best practices to reduce the carbon footprint of ANSPs. And, you know, some ANSP are really doing a lot of work to reduce their carbon footprint. And it was important to collect all this experience and to share it. So if an ANSP is willing to work on this to reduce their carbon footprint, they know where to find the information and some guidance. This report is very important. And I would also recommend those ANSP to contact the ANSP that have contributed to this report because they have a lot of experience that they can share. The second report is on environmental performance metrics. In the past, and still today, by the way, we are using to measure ATM performance indicators based on time and distance, like the shortest distance. Now, there is a need to develop better metrics, new metrics, in line with Paris Agreement and the Aviation Green Deal. In short, we need to measure CO2 reduction. And if we want to measure CO2 reduction, we need to develop fuel indicator or CO2 indicator. And in this report, we assess different indicators that are currently in use, but also other metrics that are under development. And let's be clear, one single metric is not enough to measure ATM performances. So we need a set of metrics, and we also need to have a more holistic approach, because when it comes to fuel, it's a shared responsibility between airlines, ANSP, flight dispatcher, airports, and also the network manager. So when it comes to fuel and CO2 reduction, we really need to go to this direction and to have a holistic approach in the way we measure ATM performances.
Eurocontrol is in the process of currently developing a brand new platform of green services. It's called Flying Green, and is there to support ECAP member states and operational stakeholders to decarbonize. Can you tell us more about Flying Green?
Yes, sure, Anita. So Flying Green is really, really important for us. You mentioned it, you know, it's part of the new program of our DG, Raising the Bar program, and Flying Green is one of the flagship. So the main objective of this project is to support member states and operational stakeholders to achieve net zero emission by 2050, but it's also to support them for climate change adaptation. So for this project, we decided to focus on four key areas. It's the transition to net zero, of course. It's the energy needs. It's climate change adaptation. And it's also financing. And I would like to discuss a little bit about the financing aspect because it's something that I didn't mention yet. If we really want to decarbonize, to have more disruptive technology or to upscale SAF production or to do ATM improvement, all of these initiatives will require a huge amount of investment. And this is really a problem now for the aviation sector, is the fact that for the financial sector, aviation is not perceived as green, or they don't believe in our capabilities to decarbonize by 2050, and they don't think that we are profitable. So clearly, there is a lot of work to do here to reassure the financial sector that we are actually decarbonizing, and we need to show this with data. And we would like to develop those data. And this is really the purpose of Flying Green project. We are going to develop data, tools, what if capabilities for those four key areas for the aviation sector that could help the member state and operational stakeholder to take their strategic decision when it comes to decarbonization and climate change adaptation. And we would like to have all those services available on a one-stop shop platform that is available to all our stakeholders.
Okay. Sounds really like really adding concrete value to the aviation sector.
Yeah. And I would like to say that we are at the very beginning of this project. And we would like to develop this project as a collaborative process, meaning that we will do regular consultation with all our stakeholders to ensure that what we are going to develop is clearly in line with our stakeholder needs and priorities.
Okay, absolutely makes sense. We're coming slowly already to an end of this recording. So the last question, what's the one thing that you would like our listeners to remember when it comes to aviation sustainability?
I think it's important now for people that are listening to us to understand that, okay, the aviation sector has a plan to decarbonize, but we are facing two main challenges, in my opinion. It's the energy challenges that I have mentioned before, and it's also the financing problem that I have also explained just before. So if we want to accelerate the decarbonization of the aviation sector, we really need to work as fast as possible on those two aspects. We really need, on one side, to ensure that the aviation sector can get access to enough renewable energy at an affordable price. And we also need to ensure that the aviation sector can invest as early as possible in the new technology. So we need to ensure that the sector can get access to the green funds that are available on the market. And if we can ensure that we can overcome these two big challenges, I'm quite optimistic for the future of the aviation sector.
Thank you, Marilyn, for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Anita.
And thank you to our listeners for joining. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe.
Raising the aviation bar from the ground to the sky.